dead man. I'm a living dead man. My name is Sizwe Mgondo Baana Itinabe. I was a prince of Ba in Ogoni Kingdom. That was 2 months, 3 weeks, 5 days and 7 hours ago. That was before the night of madness and mayhem. Now I'm no longer a prince. No prince sits in a tiny LS cell waiting for the judge's gavel to fall and a pronouncement to be made. And with each passing second of the wait, the same question asked over and over again. Will I live? Will I die? These are difficult questions, especially when I have no control over the decisions that will give the answers. Perhaps they do not have answers, yet they come again and again. Will I live? Will I die? Sometimes I try to be brave and say to myself and to the gathering darkness, if I die, I die. If I live, I live. Other times, the fear comes back with the dusk. Funny, this coldness that grips my soul with fingers of ice, it only comes as the darkness calls. And each time it does, I'm not sure that if I live, I live, or if I die, I die. Also, each time it comes, I remember things best forgotten. I remember the days the passions of men's heart ruled the reason of their heads. Ah, that time. That time. Sometimes I wish that period never was. A part of my life I never lived. But I can't. History is always made, never unmade. The ghosts are here again, like they come with each call of darkness. The first is Opuyo. He walks in as usual, carrying his head in his hands, held out before him like he's offering it to me. Perhaps, even in death, he never realized that the day I killed him, I never wanted his head. That it was nothing personal between us. That it was something between our fathers. And their fathers. And their own fathers. It was this that made us enemies even now. Even in death. Tonight, like the other nights, he holds out his head to me. And tonight, like the other nights, a shake of my head is the answer. He turns and walks through the wall. Then comes the girl whose name I never heard and may never know. She's in her tattered clothes, which I remember from the night she died. The same clothes she removed each of the other nights she came, in preparation for offering herself to me. I raped her one of those nights, when madness ruled the land, and afterwards the men in my band took her. I did not know they killed her afterwards. I know now. I only remember her voice as she begged me to save her when she realized I was the leader. Perhaps that's why she comes to me now and not to the others. I could have saved her if I wanted to, but who saves his enemies in war? She stops before me, hooks the thumbs of her hands under the blouse and lifts it above her head. I want to turn away as she draws the same dirty brown-colored skirt down, but cannot. A force I cannot understand keeps my head in place, my eyes riveted. The skirt slides down her long legs. Then she comes to me, a wicked, lascivious smile on her face. Mischief becomes this ghost. And she confirms that thought when she stops before me and thrusts her hips out, her nakedness almost shoved into my face. I know what she's offering. The same thing I took from her by force that night as we wrestled on the grass, among the glowworms and the fireflies before the others held her down. But time has come and gone. The madness had died, and I cannot take from her now what she gives willingly. Again, as I did with Opuyo, I shake my head with a smile. Then she does something strange. In the past, she shrieked each time I turned her down, her anger almost palpable. But not tonight. She smiles and reaches out her hand as if she wants to touch my cheek. Then she's no longer there. What happened? Why did she not shriek as usual? Why did she smile instead, and in such a gentle manner? Then I know death comes. I do not even have the opportunity to dwell on this new thought before I feel the draft of the cold wind. I look up instantly, my eyes going to the door. Then I cross myself. Ghosts do not open doors. The wind is getting colder and stronger, swirling around the cell in powerful gusts. What is strange about this wind, and what has always been strange about it, is that it touches nothing else but me. Not even the shirt hanging on the back of the reading chair. I continue to look at the door because I know who is coming. Shifting on the bed is an instinctive effort to create more space. I know, though, that ghosts do not need space like humans do. Chimongo never comes alone. No, he never does. He comes with everyone. All those who died that night, the villagers were locked up in their houses and set on fire. The wind is getting colder and stronger. Then it stops abruptly. Chimongo walks through the wall. He pauses to look at me, as if he wants to make sure I am still me. He comes forward. The crowd come behind him, filling every space in the room, and at the same time, unbelievably, seeming to take up no space at all. Chimongo stops before me.
How are you today, Sizwe?
He always does this. Says my name at the end of the question. A long time ago, I used to wonder how he knew my name. The wondering stopped when I realized that ghosts must know everything. So, Chimongo knows. I'm as well as can be. I talk to Chimongo, though he speaks to my mind, using not words, but thoughts.
That does not sound too good for someone who once gloated over the blood of innocence.
The blood of innocence?
Look around you, Sizwe. Look around you at all these people. Did they do anything to you?
I did not kill them.
Your people did.
I am not my people.
And you killed Sizwe. You killed me.
You were a warrior. If I had not killed you, you would have killed me. If my people had not killed your people, they would have killed us.
And the women, the children, they were warriors too.
What happened was war, Chimongo. War. People die in war, even women and children. And Chimongo says nothing after that, just looks at me. Then he smiles, but I feel no warmth in his smile. The wind gets colder and stronger. Chimongo looks at the crowd surrounding me, a lost, wistful smile on his face. He turns and walks away toward the wall of ghosts, taking the others with him. Long after Chimongo has gone, I sit and stare at the wall opposite me. Is what I said about war true? Do you have to kill or be killed? At the height of the madness, they tried to kill us as we tried to kill them. Just that there were more of us than there were of them. Just that we started killing them first. But they killed us too, did they not? Then about the women and the children, was I right? Were they things to be destroyed just because there was a war? A lot of them died, consumed by a rage they knew nothing about. Could their deaths have been avoided? Could I have saved those who begged to be spared? Those who could not have harmed us even if we left them to live? A lot of them died. I know that now. And in war, women and children die, don't they? It was war, Chimongo. It was war. I turn away from the steel bars and look at the wall through which Chimongo had taken the other ghosts. A sudden and inexplicable longing rises in my soul for them to come back. I will die with the coming of dawn. I hear the whispers as I come from the showers. I see the sideways glances from the wardens and the other inmates, the damned and the children of the damned. And I know what the eyes say, that the mouths do not form. Yes, the darkness will take over my life as the sun gives light to the world. They will kill me with a lot less respect than they will a dog in a cage. This is not the life of a warrior. This is not the death for a prince of the Ogonis. The fabric of the shirt feels warm and rough between my fingers. I roll the shirt into a slim rope without much emotion. The small chair beside the bed squeaks with metallic agony as I fling the loose end of the shirt rope across the bar, spanning the length of the small cell. passing the loose end through the knot in my hands, I feel the dread I have fought for so long seize my soul. I raise the knot above my head and allow it to settle on my shoulders, around my neck. The wind comes back, and with it, the sighs of darkness. And those words that will not go away. If I die, I die. If I leave, I leave. Then I give a small kick.